Hi, welcome back to CKUT. So today we are three people on the show. My name is Adele.
I'm Kat.
And I'm Zoe.
And we will like to introduce you to our new show called
Girls Meet World.
Yay!
We're going to be discussing a lot of things, most going around the world today, but more specifically what it means to be our age in the world today. From politics to culture to being in Gen Z. So
and being women.
And being a woman, yes, exactly.
So first, let's start with a song. This is C'était bien hier of Foé.
Tu m'as proposé de prendre un verre. Je m'y attendais pas. C'était bien hier. Place du Cap, les cheveux en arrière. Replongé dans tes yeux marron vert. Je m'y attendais pas. C'était bien hier. Putain, dis-moi, qu'est-ce qu'on a foutu? Je veux pas t'oublier, qu'on ne se voit plus. Alors je t'attendrai là. Si c'est ma faute, dis-moi. Si c'est la nôtre, dis pourquoi. Y'a pas de honte à se revoir. Je veux qu'on se raconte une autre histoire. Et si je fais n'importe quoi, ce qui m'importe reste toi. Y'a pas de honte à dire que ça. C'était bien hier. On dansait dans ce bar à Saint-Pierre. Parfum d'amour et parfum de bière. Je m'y attendais pas. C'était bien hier. Putain, dis-moi, qu'est-ce qu'on a foutu? Je peux pas t'oublier, j'en peux plus. Alors je t'attendrai là. Si c'est ma faute, je veux qu'on se raconte une autre histoire. Et si j'ai fait n'importe quoi, ce qui m'importe reste toi. J'ai pas de honte à dire que ça. C'était bien quoi.
And we're back on. That was C'était bien hier by Foé. Okay,
so let's start today our conversation with some culture topics. I wanted to introduce you today to a movie that I saw this weekend and really had a big impact on me and made me think a lot during the night. That usually happens to me. And then I can't sleep because I'm just thinking too much. But it's okay. So this movie is a French movie which was released in 2016 called Five, realized by Igor a good man, right? That's it.
Yeah.
And so let me tell you a little bit about this movie. So it's the story of a group of five friends, young people, I would say in the 30s or something like, or maybe, yeah, around that, who have always dreamed to live together in a flat as roommates, you know. And that was their big dream. And they finally decide to do it and realize their dream because they are lucky, because one of a member of the group, Samuel, who's the main character, has a very rich father, which will allow them, enable them to rent this beautiful big apartment in the center of Paris. However, Samuel, so the main character, is supposedly doing studies of medicine, and that's what he told his father. And when his father realizes that Samuel was actually not studying medicine, but instead taking classes to become an actor, that didn't really please him. So he decided to stop.
Yeah,
cut him off totally, to stop seeing him and, of course, giving him money. So Samuel is faced with a big problem. He doesn't have money anymore to pay for the rent of his apartment. And he really doesn't want to disappoint his friends, and so decides not to tell them about this, which was not the best idea. And he decides to become a drug dealer in order to finance this.
Everything.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I need to explain a little bit too, so that to explain why I'm talking about this movie, because I'm not gonna, I don't know if I should tell this, but
a little bit of suspense could be good.
Well, big consequences are arriving after that, and actually, all his friends are deep into trouble after these choices.
Because of the choices he made,
and he had an Indian to tell them, of course, because it was becoming such a big mess, and in the end, it's literally threatening their lives. So that made me think about like how much a little lie, because at the beginning it was just because he was not studying medicine and he lied to his father, which impacted all of this, because after he lied to his friends not to disappoint them. And really, I had to think a lot about this, and I wanted to talk about it with you. So what do you think? How far can a lie go, and how far a lie should go? Even is it ever justified just to lie for small things I did? Or when should a lie stop? I don't know. It's a big question.
It's a great question. I think it's interesting to see the lengths we'll go to protect somebody. I mean, was it clear in the movie if he was doing it, like going and doing all these things in order for him to keep paying the rent, or was it more because he knew how much his friends wanted to
It was
the
more
house?
About his friends. Yeah. It was like a big dream, you know, not to disappoint his friends, who would obviously, I think there was also a fear of his friends not wanting to be his friends with him anymore because he was just there for the money, you know? So I think there's a lot of
things are going on, of course.
But yeah, that's what happened. And it's also a lot about the friendship, because at the same time, all the friends had to get involved in this, to help him solve this problem. I mean, it's a good sign of friendship, and maybe we should not worry that much about not disappointing our friends on these things.
Yeah, I think it's a good topic. I saw that movie quite a long ago, and I rewatched it like 2 weeks ago, so that's a coincidence, but it's funny. And it's one of the movies that I like the most, because it's funny, but because you have a lot of like, how can I say it? Like goofy scenes and jokes that are just like easy
it's
jokes,
a comedy,
like really like basic humor. But I really liked it for that part, but also because like the topics around friendship and disappointment and everything is interesting. And I'm about to like live in a in a flat. Next year, we're going to be 5, 2 guys, 3 girls. And that's just topics that we're going to talk about, like not being too loud, like just respecting like each other's like private spheres. Mm. But at the same time, like not taking too much space into the relationship. So what do you guys think? Are you going to live with roommates next year?
I am living with roommates, and I do think these topics are going to come up, definitely, in terms of, you know, respecting each other's space for sure, and, you know, wanting to do things for them just so that the situation can work out. I think I'm a very, I really don't like conflict, so sometimes, kind of like the guy in the movie, I would definitely do things that were out of my way in order for it to go a little bit easier for someone else.
Yeah, but, it was also a lot about dreams, I thought, because he wanted to become an actor, and so he lied also because he really wanted to keep going this way and not becoming a doctor like his dad expected him to be.
Yeah, it talks about like the pressure that your parents actually like put on you to like good studies. Carla just joined us.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you, Carla?
Exhausted.
So we were talking about this movie 5. And also about living with roommates. So will you live in roommates ever? So you, do you have any experience with that?
Now, no. My parents are my roommates. I don't know if my mic is on, but...
Yeah, it is.
I do plan on living with a roommate because the thought of living alone terrifies me.
Yeah, me too.
Sure.
That was part of my reason with roommates. At first, I had felt like I was going through so many different plans. Like, I had these people that I was going to live with, and then, like, the groups just kept switching. But all along, I just knew, like, no matter what the plan was, I really didn't want to do it alone. I think it's such a huge, like... I mean, it's going to happen eventually that I'll live on my own anyway, so why not enjoy this time of my life with people and getting to really feel like this naive, like, kid in the city and, you know, having, like... The whole, like, the stories that you see on TV all the time, which is basically...
Just like Friends.
Yeah, like, exactly. Friends. Yeah. Trying to live with Friends.
Yeah, big fan.
Okay. And I'm leaving next year in an apartment with 3 girls. Mm-hmm. And, like, we're 3 in total. And, you know, we have an apartment which is totally symmetrically the same opposite the corridor. So I'm just like, I'm hoping it will be 3 guys. So it's like a Friends.
No, it all depends on who your neighbors end up being. Hopefully they all are very wacky and can be part of my
fingers
crazy
crossed for the neighbors.
And hopefully you have a good landlord, because those are hard to find.
Exactly. Yeah. That too. Yeah, that too.
He seems nice. We'll see.
That movie, though, really made me think of the story I read once. And it, like, really, like, it was one of those... I mean, it wasn't a movie that came me up, but I read it and I just couldn't believe the how much shame, like, having shame or fear of being shamed can impact what we do. This woman was talking about how she divorced her husband recently because she found out this massive lie he kept throughout the whole relationship. They met in undergrad, and he got into med school, and they were dating all throughout med school, and like every day he would leave to go to school, like while they were doing, she was doing her master's, and now he
to
was
school.
In med school.
He wasn't going to school, right?
Oh, yeah, he was not going. He never got in. Mm-hmm. And every day for like 2 years, he pretended he went in his car and went to school.
Oh, this is
every
crazy.
Single day. For so like so much fear of letting, you know, he came, I mean, there were a lot of details in the story, like he came from a family of doctors, of course, and this was like how his life was meant to go, and he just seriously couldn't accept that that's not what was going to happen, that for 2 years.
2 years, that's
unbelievable, right?
That reminds me of the story of, like, Jennifer Pan. It's, like, very gruesome, so I won't get into everything that happened, but basically her web of lies start when she basically failed. She failed an exam, and then it was, like, the first exam she failed in her entire life, and she's like, what's the point of trying anymore? So she basically, like, flunked out of high school but didn't tell her parents, and she, like, pretended that she got into, like, University of Toronto and made, like, fake acceptance letter or pretended to go to the library.
Yeah, I do know her. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, the story ends very badly, but at the end, like... The
is it a real story?
It's a real story. Yes. You can Google it.
That's crazy.
It ends really badly.
What's the end? Tell us. We want to know.
So it's a true crime.
Yeah, it's a true crime. Because
she's a murderer?
Yeah, so she ends up dating this dude. Listen, I'm not really into true crime, but like this case like fascinated me by like, I don't know, like the 0 to 100. her and her boyfriend was like kind of tired of keeping up her shenanigans, and also she would not introduce her boyfriend because, you know, like, it's very frowned upon in her culture. So basically she was like, you know what, I'm gonna kill my parents. So she had her boyfriend hire people to fake in a break-in where they killed the parents, but then she's in jail now.
Reassuring.
So you see how the consequences of a lie can lead you to...
can make you do absolutely crazy things.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never knew how to feel about that story when I first read it. Not that... because that one I think is pretty clear how you feel. Yeah. You feel horrible for her parents. But also, in some twisted way, you kind of can see a really tormented girl who just... didn't know what to do and felt so trapped in her life. I mean, this is giving like the utmost understanding. I'm not condoning murdering her parents, obviously. But I thought about it with this guy in the story too. I kept thinking, like, I mean, you could say so many things about him. I mean, you could make the argument, oh, he was mooching off of his wife for, you know, 2 years and while she was actually in school. And I'm sure, like, you know, for her to believe him for 2 years, he made it pretty intricate, which is, of course, very manipulative. But I don't know, for me, I kept thinking, like, I don't know, what kind of place would I have to be in to do something like that?
Just so pathetic. Like, it's making us feel bad about him. Because if he goes to reach top points, it means that he's not happy at all. And he can't, like, assume his choices and just stand up for himself. So it's quite sad, actually.
Maybe I haven't. Okay, so I'm the child of immigrants, and I feel like something that most children of immigrants have in common is that we're really good at lying to our parents. Because if you don't lie, you're basically going to be sheltered your entire life. And you feel bad about it. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know, I can't blame my parents because, like, they do a lot for me. But I also have I hope my parents are not listening to this. I also have the understanding that, like, if I don't lie... things that are very normal for me to experience in, like, North American society, I'm not going to get the chance to do that. I think the most intricate lie I've ever told my parents, and I accidentally got caught because one person did not, like, stick to the plan. I was supposed to go to Victoriaville for, like, an activity business thing, but I couldn't go because I had another activity planned at the same time. But then my friend was going to drive me with her parents to go later, so I lied and pretended I was already in Victoriaville when I was actually still in Montreal. And then what happened is that the coordinator called my parents because they were like, Carla's not here, and I was like, damn it, you ruined everything.
I think that is a really, like, speaking especially about immigrant families, like, I completely understand. It's literally my life.
There's a fine line.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like, there is some things that you have to do in order to
live a life.
Live the life, especially here. It's just not going to work. I think that is an interesting topic about tradition specifically and how much we struggle to adhere to it, that we can change so much. Like, this guy, like, you know, wanting to... of course, like, his dad cutting him off because he didn't follow his path. Like, you know, the story I share where, you know, this guy, his family of doctors were not wanting to disappoint his parents. Like, little things like that. Like, how much of our life is already set before us. And if we don't follow it, we've already disappointed ourselves without even knowing if that's what we wanted.
I mean, there's also, you can only, like, buck the trend. So, like, you can only rebel, I think, against your parents so much before you're... I mean, my parents would never cut me off, but I know that some people, like, they would definitely get cut off if they were to...
Yeah, I think it's not really about the cutoff. It's more about, like, the confidence they put in you.
Yeah.
And once you're, like, deceived them once, they won't be able to trust you again. So that's why I try to not lie. I try. Little lies, I think it's okay. But, like, little lies, not big lies. When my safety is in... The middle, I choose to not lie.
I mean, now that I'm an adult, it's different. Like, you know, like, I'm not saying I can do whatever because, like, there's still repercussions to my actions. But, you know, like, I have more leeway. Like, if I don't feel like doing something, they can't really, like, force me anymore.
It happens to me also. Like, I have social pressures on me. Like, oh, do you want to go to a party today? Tonight, let's go out. And I just don't want to because I'm tired. And so I would lie. I would say, no, I have an exam tomorrow. I can't go. And I would not say, no, I don't want to go. And sometimes these lies are like a protection for yourself because you just want to have your private sphere. So, yeah.
That is so true. I find myself doing that a lot. Like, yeah. Sometimes, and I don't even realize why. Like, just like I'm so worried about the other person's, you know, understanding of how I'm feeling that I'd rather just make up like a lie. Be like, mm-hmm. no, like, I have work. No, I don't. I'm in my room. And why, like, they are my friend, right? And I should be able to just say, hey, I don't feel like going out tonight. It's, yeah. And it's not that serious, but I would never.
Oh, yeah? Okay, I'm a horrible person. I do that. I don't want to go.
Good. No, I do it too. It's just sometimes,
I
you know?
I admire that, though. I think that's a good way of doing it, to have your boundaries. Like, you know, absolutely, there's nothing wrong with it at all. It's actually good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because actually they know, because we're in the same courses, they know you have work or no. So I cannot really. So it's not really a choice. Okay, should we move on?
We can put the music maybe before our next topic.
A little song, perhaps.
What do we have in mind? I have some. Can you put like La Rivière of Coline Rio? She has just released a new album, and she's not really famous. I always listen to the same kind of song when I think about it. It's always these girls with sub voices, which are okay. Let's go.
Hey!
And we're back on.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to CKUT. Our next topic that we were going to start with, now going more into our politics part of the show, yeah. Not just about lies, although that was really good. I wanted to talk about quiet quitting. It's this article I read specifically about Gen Z recently and a new phenomenon called quiet quitting, wherein which our generation, when the way that we see work, especially after the pandemic, we don't do more than what is asked for us. When the clock, you know, you have a 9 to 5, when the clock strikes 5, you're out of there. You're not going to do more work than is asked of you. You're not going above and beyond. And it's just a completely, apparently, new phenomenon just was strictly within our generation. And I thought it was something that we
just doing like the bare minimum.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Whatever your job sets out for you is what you're going to do. You're not going to push more, especially if it's for like a huge like conglomerate company. You're not going to put more hours.
Actually, I understand because in some of my courses, I'm doing that. So if it's not in, like if I don't like the course and I don't think it's interesting, I'm not going to put a lot of effort in it. I just want to pass. And I think that's okay. We cannot be interested in anything, in everything.
Absolutely.
So what do you guys think?
I mean, I think most people have had their fair share of horrible bosses who, like, dominate your entire life and, like, put you on for shifts that you didn't sign up for. And I've had a friend who, like, her boss would be like, oh, hey, could you do a shift, like, Monday at 2 p.m., like, Monday at, like, 11? And she's like, I'm in school. And she's like, well, can't you skip school just to come to work? And it's like, no. A lot of bosses are having a lot of audacity with what they're requiring of employees. Instead of like hiring more people, they just like put more workload on you. Mm-hmm. And you're not paid proportional to the amount of like work that you're doing. So I 100% support like quiet quitting. At my last job, I did barely what was asked of me. Like that's all I did. And I was paid like minimum wage. So it's
what
I'm
was
not,
it?
I worked as a camp counselor.
Okay.
And at my camp, at most camps, what you do is that they give you like a list of activities and you show up and you like entertain the kids. At my camp, I had to organize my own activities.
What?
Yeah. So every week I would have to plan with like another person because we like matched our groups together and we'd be like, okay, so what are we doing Tuesday at 9 a.m. and what are we doing at 10? And what are we doing at 11? And we had like
for a whole day. That's a lot of work.
Every single day. And
oh, every single day having to plan the activity.
Yeah, maybe like once a week we would have a field trip.
Oh my gosh.
Or like some activities in between, but the rest I had to plan everything. And I had a $20 a week budget if I needed to buy stuff.
$20, that's ridiculous.
Which was not enough. And I like had to take out of my own pay. And since then I'm like, no, never again. I'm only doing what is asked of me, especially if you're paid like like minimum wage or close to it. Like, yeah, it's ridiculous to ask of your employees for them to like move mountains when you're going to do the bare minimum when you have like the power to make their lives easier.
Absolutely. There's this this Reddit page called Anti-Work.
I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. I love it and I hate it at the same time because when I do read some of the stuff, it's so like, oh my God, it's so intense. It's mostly basically a lot of forums of people just describing horrible boss stories. Like stories like, I asked for time off for my aunt's funeral, wasn't granted and he's fired me, like things like that, like just absolutely no consideration of your time. And I started to think about it when I was a kid, I didn't think a lot about society or out, like work culture in general. And the older I've gotten, when I was a kid, I really thought about work as like, well, yeah, people just don't want to work hard. Like you, like the whole, I was just
very Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
No one wants to work these days.
No one wants to work these days. I was like, yeah, like why are people like, you can't be lazy. Like having a job is what it's about. Like you get a job and you work hard and you make good money and you get this good house. And the more I started to think about it, I was like, especially now that I've gotten older, I'm just very like, I mean, we work to live here. Especially in like Western, like
we don't live to work.
We don't live to work. Oh, okay, yeah. We worked. Oh, we live.
Yeah,
to
no,
work.
No. Here. But I was completing your
exactly.
Sentence.
Thank you. Very much that, and it's such a weird concept of living paycheck to paycheck and being expected to be asked or being asked to do so much for a job that you're really just doing to live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to survive in
to
a way.
Survive.
Yeah, and there's also like jobs that will not, in an instant, if they need budget cuts, will like hesitate to fire you.
See,
That's yeah. So why would you put in your all to exactly. a job that doesn't even, that doesn't care about you as much as you care about it? I think exactly. it's kind of like a response to, like, I want to say, remember the girl boss, like, she still exists. She's still, the girl boss still exists. But remember in, like, early 2000s, people were like, oh, I'm going to be a girl boss. I'm going to, like, hustle and I'm going to work, mm-hmm. work, and my entire life is going to be work.
Yeah.
You get burned out so easily. Yep. Just with schoolwork, when yeah. you apply yourself to, like, 100, you're going to mm-hmm. eventually burn out. Like, you cannot yeah. give your 100% undivided attention to one thing
yeah.
without it impacting, like, the rest of your life. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think the pandemic especially was such a big, like, wake-up call for everybody. Like, and that's a really good point that that was such a big culture thing, especially mm-hmm. to have that big hustle culture, and then you work and go, like, go be a girl boss and slay, like,
be efficient.
Yeah, of course, yeah. of course. But I think
project more and more in our yeah. capitalist society.
Of course.
Yeah,
this is basically like a Karl Marx, like,
yeah.
But I think the pandemic just made us realize so much about personal life balance, like really understanding, like, what, you know, what could, like, hold on.
What's a priority here?
Like, I think there was just even a change in how much was in person. Like, I even know my mom's company, like, meetings that would have happened in person and, like, would have taken up a whole day is now sent in an email. Like, they're very, like...
Yeah. But at the same time, I don't know if it's a good thing because people are not, like, seeing each other anymore. So, you're just, yeah. like, in your own bubble and you're not, like, interacting with others. So I don't think it's necessarily a good thing. I think we need more balance. For now, it's not balanced at all. Like, some people are just doing, like, work at home, like, all week. And so after, like, your week, your house becomes, like, your workplace and your, like, chill place. It can't work.
Yeah.
So
I definitely agree. I think we've become really individualistic. We're not, like, a collective society, I don't really feel. Like, you know, you go and do your job, and because it's become such a survival thing, you know, like, when you're finished with the day, you just retreat back into your home, and you don't share the same way. You know, work isn't like the social setting anymore. It's very like, I go there, I do what I have to. This is basically the whole idea of quiet quitting. I yeah. go there, I do what I have to do. It's not my passion.
I'd like to be able to do quiet quitting because I have yeah. a big problem. I just study too much. I always work too much than what I could do and actually get the same results, or if not, just slightly like less. But I'm actually improving. But I know that in high school I had no social life. Like, I had some, of course, but my high school was also very strict and hard. But I realized since I'm here in university that I have so much freedom, and I'm yeah. like, why should I force myself to read this book to know about this philosophy or that? And why not? I wasn't even allowing myself to read, like, you know, the books you read in the summer.
Yeah, for fun.
For pleasure. Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't allowing myself to read them because I was like, no, I have to not waste my time. I have to be productive. And also, this goes with this what society tells us to do, like, work more, do the best we can and everything. And I'm actually trying to, like, oh, let's just not study for an hour and do something else,
yeah.
Do something different, because I can, I could, if I want to, if I make the choice to take this time for me, then it's okay.
Yeah. It's all about, like, managing your time, mm-hmm. I feel like. Like, today, I wanted to take a nap for 2 hours. I took a nap,
good reason.
And that was yeah. okay. Yeah. And I didn't feel bad about it. But, like, at the beginning of the semester, I would have felt bad. So, yeah. It depends.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I tried to do, like, all the readings for, like, 1 week. And then I was like, okay, yeah. I'm just going to do the ones that are important and be effective.
I'm still doing them. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think, I forgot which European country it was. They, like, adopted a 30-hour work. I think they adopted, like, a 4-day work week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you did a bunch of studies and you realized if people got their work done in 4 days, so what's the point of having the 5th day? Just have a 3-day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's true for, like, most people. You get your, you can get, I don't know, like, my friend, she has, like, an office job.
Mm-hmm.
She says that, like, basically her office job, she comes in, she does all her work in 3 hours, and the rest of the day she's just chilling, doing nothing, going on BuzzFeed, doing Wordle.
And that's so, really common.
Yeah. So what's the point of, like, yeah, I want the extra pay for the 2 hours, but, like, what's the point of being in the office? I'm, like, doing nothing with my time.
Yeah. that's what I did. Like last weekend, I was supposed to do like my job. I was supposed to be outside. And then like because of the weather, we couldn't. So we were inside like in a room for like 3 hours doing nothing. And I was like, what's the point? I'm not doing anything. I met a girl and that was fun because we chit chat for like 3 hours. But I was like, what's the point? So useless.
Yeah, I mean, I think Gen Z's relationship to everything is being redefined. It's
yeah.
Like, why are we daring to this? I think the one that I see the most is like politics. The 2020 election was very stressful, but I think from a social media perspective, it was so impressive to see how like people mobilized. Because I remember, because I have TikTok, and I remember seeing people on TikTok being like, you know what we should do? We should all register to Donald Trump's next rally. So that they think it's going to be historic and there's going to be all these people and then no one's going to show up. And it actually happened. They reported about it on the news. The Trump administration, they released a press release. They were like, 100,000 people registered for this rally. It's going to be historic. There's going to be so many people to support Donald J. Trump. And then when the cameras filmed, there were maybe like 150 people there. And I'm being like very, like, yeah, no one showed up. And you see that now with what happened in Tennessee. People are showing up to the Capitol, to the state Capitol to like protest. And I don't know, I think we have this attitude of like, you know what, if I don't like it, I'm going to change it because no one else is going to do it for me.
That is really true.
Yeah.
That is definitely really true. I feel like we're a lot more outspoken and this, not as complacent, I think, as the generation before us, which is not like, complacent, not that they didn't have their complaints, but just didn't feel that there was anything they could do about it.
Yeah. Also, I don't want to like shade millennials. Millennials were dealt a very bad hand.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
As you're graduating, boom, economic recession, everyone gets laid off, and you need a master's degree to work at Subway. Like, it's hard. Like, they went through so much, but I think I don't want to say that they didn't have like the thought of. I don't think that they're as like lazy as people portray them to be. But I think maybe it's because now everyone has social media. It's easier to, like, mobilize and be like, you know what? We're not going to take this. We're going to reform this because we're stuck here for, you know, however many years we have left to live.
It makes it easier to organize also. Like, in France, we're seeing, like, the protests happening right now. And, like, people are mobilizing through social media. And people are posting, like, on their stories. I went to this demonstration. It's, like, almost like a trend to go. And protest.
So there's
is it
something
performative though.
So sorry.
I don't want to like start a like.
I don't know.
Sometimes when I see people at stuff and they're just like posting pictures, and I'm like, are you there to post or are you there because you actually care
about
the
cause?
That's
exactly what I was.
But then
ask.
I feel bad for questioning that. So I don't know.
No, I don't. I think some of them are there to post on their stories.
Yeah.
And that's okay because they're there. We're not because we're not there. So
I mean, does that
okay.
undermine what you're doing though? If you're just there to get like attention. Or does it balance because, like, you're giving attention to a cause and other people who may not have heard about it?
It depends if you look, like, on the consequences, or, like, on the end, or, like, on the thought given into the end. Like, we've seen, like, in one of my classes, we saw the difference between deontological and consequentialist. And I think, like, you know that expression, la fin justifie les moyens?
Yeah.
The end.
Justifies the means.
Yeah. So, in some way, in some other way, no. So, I don't know if they're here, even if it's not for the good reasons. I think it's still good because it's a first step. But what do you guys think?
As long as they don't use violence, what we're talking about? What are we talking about exactly?
So I don't know. Like,
because
say,
it's very abstract.
Okay. Say for example. I don't know. I don't want to say girl because I feel like people always reduce it to like women doing these things, but like men do that too. Person shows up to like, I don't know, a Black Lives Matter rally and they're posting a lot of pictures and that's kind of it. They just post pictures of them at the rally. They don't like link to anything. It's just like, hey, I was here at this rally. Does that like, I don't know. Then again, I feel bad because it's like, you know what? You made the effort. You're there. You're protesting.
Yeah. Like it took some time.
Some time. Like,
I think it's more just a social media thing in general because people, we now are at a point where if you didn't take a photo or if you didn't post it, it literally didn't happen.
Yeah.
And I think, like,
that's an episode. by Emma Chamberlain. I listened to it. Posted or it didn't happen.
Yeah. But literally, that's exactly it, though. Like, and it could be even subconsciously. I'm sure, like, the idea of that whole thing is that obviously you're subconsciously living for other people's opinions. So I'm sure in some way, yeah, it kind of means that you're, you know, it doesn't show how much you really care about it. It shows how much you care about other people seeing you care about it. But, I mean, that's exactly, like, what happened, like, during, I think it was May 2020. It was when you had to post Blackout Tuesday.
Yeah.
Post a black square on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, that as well is, like, I don't know, because even the people who didn't post anything all week or didn't speak anything on it and then posted up one black square and could feel like, oh, that's my little check mark for I've done my social activism for the day. You know, performative activism is, like...
I think going to a protest is different than just posting on social media.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
like, you have to make some kind of effort.
Yeah, it's true.
It's like the Instagram infographics. True. That's a whole thing in comms. Like, right now, the biggest fascination comms is like the Instagram templates of, like, I don't know. You know the, like, millennial pink with, like, all the bubbles and the hearts? What's happening in Yemen right now?
Oh, my God,
I know. Yemen, there's a civil war that has killed, like... I don't know. I think it's so weird how, like... people have the capacity to, like, have fun with serious events.
I know. Mm-hmm. Taking, like, cute pink bubbly notes for, like, a genocide.
Yeah, it's like, unbelievable. I'm on TikTok. I think, I've talked about this. And last week they had hearings in front of the Senate or the Congress? In front of, like, U.S. Congress, mm-hmm. the CEO of TikTok spoke about, because they're potentially banning the platform in the U.S., and no joke, maybe like 3 hours after he was done testifying, I opened my app to see edits of this man where they play, his name is Sho Chu. So they took the song Mr. Chu by K-pop band A-Pink. And so they made like edits of like him and like with hearts. And you're like, oh my God, he's so cute. And I'm like, guys, the app may get banned. Like, is this really what you want to do with your time? But at the same time, I'm like, you know what? It's bringing awareness to it. Maybe someone who didn't know about the app being banned saw this edit and was like, you know what? That's a cute CEO. I wonder what he's doing. And
but I'm not really, like, what are the reasons for, like, TikTok ban?
Well, China.
So the reason that...
besides China.
Okay, so what they're saying is that that TikTok harnesses data and may give it to the Chinese Communist Party, even mm-hmm. though, like, they're not affiliated at all. I watched the hearings. It was very infuriating because you had people who, listen, I'm sure they're great in other areas, but the internet is not their forte. A man asked, does TikTok connect to my home Wi-Fi?
Oh my God.
Listen. Okay. I want to be like, I'm not in favor of age limits for politicians, but I am. This is the one time I'm going to be ageist. I am 100% in favor for age limits for politicians. After a while, what are you doing in government? Especially the people who've been there for like 25, 30, 40 years. Like, I don't know. Like, don't you feel like you've accomplished? Because in my mind, you go into politics because you want to accomplish something. And once you've accomplished it, you have, like, the decency to leave. And though, like, 99% of people don't operate that way.
You're very optimistic about politicians.
I'm very
That's not what I thought about politicians.
It's what... was it Weaver? I don't want to quote, like, a philosopher and be like, he thought of that. But I'm pretty sure that Max Weaver said something along the lines of, like, a politician is someone that goes in with a goal and not for, like, his own selfish interests. If a philosophy professor is listening to this, correct me on it. But I don't know, like, people who are there, like Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, people who've been there since, like, I don't want to say before color television was a thing, but, like, I don't know.
Yeah, but at the same time, they've got experience. If, like, I'm the devil attorney, like...
Yeah, but people who've been there for 20 years also have experience. I'm not saying, like...
I think it should be a mix.
Yeah.
Yeah, more representation of
like young
youth, of course.
And we could have like quota, like men and women now like above 50 and below.
I feel like it should be like if you've served this many terms, you can after.
See, that also makes sense, especially when we're talking about like policies like that are so like, I mean, questions like that, it's like wasting time.
Yeah.
In like here when like to actually solve something.
And you know, like for that, a fact, like, that there are people who are younger in Congress who like know what
genuinely know.
Yeah. Like there was a lady who talked about like racism on the app. She genuinely did her homework and she knew what she was talking about. but then you're wasting time.
Does it connect to my home Wi-Fi? Do you see what I mean? Like, it's like such a...
Or, like, someone was like, oh, mister, are you affiliated with the Chinese Communist Party? Because he has an Asian-sounding last name. And he goes, dude, I'm from Singapore. Like, I don't, like, I know you think it's a part of China, but it's not. Like, I'm not Chinese. Like, I don't know. I think the bar is very low to be a politician in some places. Fortunately and unfortunately. And a lot of people go into it for very bad intentions.
Absolutely. It's to fulfill some personal goal or some mass, I don't know, objective. Like, especially, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to this recently in the U.S. They've decided, like, you know, in terms of child safety, the number one issue they've seemed to have found in the U.S. now is drag queens.
Yeah.
Have you been hearing about that?
Yeah.
I was aware.
It's so... Mm-hmm. Drag queens is like, I'm really into RuPaul's Drag Race.
Me too. I love it.
I'm obsessed with that show. New episode tonight.
I've never seen that show.
It's amazing.
Watch it.
Okay. And I can sometimes understand the argument because there is a place of drag where it can be more adult. Yeah. And that is okay to have that place. But there is also something about it that intrinsically drag is about expressing yourself and being comfortable with yourself. So many of these drag artists in the U.S. do like children's story time. Like they'll read book, and it's the really, some of them don't even have anything to do with sexuality at all.
Like
it's,
and they're like fully clothed.
Yeah,
very
fully clothed.
It's a family friendly event. It's not a public library.
Genuinely family friendly. There's adults there. There's kids there. Like there are some drag artists who like, it is like, it's very healing for them, very healing for their inner child to just like, literally the main message in almost all of these is being yourself, expressing yourself. And recently it's been like there's been like drag bans in like multiple states, like
especially Florida.
Yeah.
I have family that like, what's happening in Florida is really scary. They're like banning books from like public libraries. They have a thing where you can't talk about sexuality in like, Don't say gay ban.
You can't say the word gay in like public schools or something
in a democracy.
That. Unbelievable. Like, and see, this is what I was saying about politicians who go into it for a specific objective. Like, there was this one, I can't remember his name, but he was interviewing one of these Republican Party politicians explaining how he's doing this because he's protecting the children. And this journalist asked him, he's like, if you're protecting the children for, and this has nothing to do with your own personal objective, explain how, you know, like obviously what just happened in Nashville, like the number one cause of death for children in the U.S. is firearms.
Yeah,
which is unbelievable. And like that's and to have that as a known fact, that should be a discussion ender.
Of course. The only developed country that has that problem. Everywhere else, like nowhere else is there that problem. Like most schools don't do gun drill. Like I've done one So at my school, they accidentally like hit the button, and
but
so
we have terrorist drill in France.
Yeah, we have terrorist drill.
It's traumatizing too.
But then again, so, like terrorism is different because it's not like you can put in place. Like you can't really do. There's some institutional measures you can take against it, such as because I wrote a paper about it. It was like my final paper I had to write to pass CJEP and to get my diploma was. I wrote a paper on women who join ISIS, and like one of the ways to combat women wanting to join ISIS is by not having discriminatory laws. So letting them wear a hijab, letting them be able to express their Muslim fate in public without being discriminated. Like that's one of the big ways, but there's not that much that you could do on like an institutional level except for like, there's some things you can do, but it's not like gun violence where like it's so easily preventable and like
That's true. But I think like it's deeply rooted in their traditions. Like you can't take that away from them. It's just like the lobby and everything, it's too powerful. They cannot do anything about it. And it's all that like psychology about being like a federal state. Like it's their right to choose. So.
And sometimes I'm so frustrated.
I'm not for it, of course.
It seems so frustrating to see that the president who is against this having law and wants to having guns allowed and wants to do something about it cannot even do it. So if the president cannot do anything, what's the point
who
of voting and what's the point of having something to do as a people?
Absolutely.
I mean, the system also has a problem, and that's why we must also question it. And this also to link it with what's happening in France is also like many of the things that the government has been doing recently using this article from the Constitution, which allows the government to pass the law without the vote. And yes, it is democratic because it respects the Constitution, but the Constitution was made 60 years ago or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So can maybe the system, like, evolve? It's,
I think it's a democratic, like, backsliding.
Because
people are protesting. Like, he cannot, like, ignore it anymore. So, like, being in a foreign country when that is happening in your country, it's quite hard because you're like, I'm not doing anything, whereas I should, like, be protesting with everyone. Mm. So I'm like...
I mean, this is just a question because you two are French. I mean, I feel like, after this term, Macron is gone. Like, he can't run anymore. So, like, technically, he has nothing to lose by...
Yeah.
And they can just...
But I mean, actually,
he has everything to lose. It's his legacy. His credibility. If he doesn't care about
his, but if he doesn't care about his legacy or his legitimacy, like, he technically has not. Like, it's not like he was running for re-election. Then it would be understandable.
Do you know what he has to lose? Like, the far right is gonna have, like, more voters.
Yeah. The next election. Yeah, I think
if he really cares about French people, he has a lot to lose. So.
Yeah, I think he's making a mistake with this reform. I think his intentions are not really bad because he's really, I think he really believes in the necessity of doing this reform. Mm-hmm. And it is true that this reform is necessary because...
It's just the way he's doing it.
It's I think the way is wrong. He should compromise more. But it's a very difficult question because people also don't understand the fact that this reform is really necessary because people are getting older and like we have such an olding population and at some point... if we don't find a way to reform this, it's actually the future generations who are going to have to pay taxes for the system. So actually it's us, the young, who are going to suffer if we don't do a reform. But the problem is that even if this reform is necessary, there should always be a dialogue with people and find compromises to make it pass and also educate people about how necessary things are and not just like... use force and not force, but like you can understand.
I think in most democratic system, people like to see like the government collaborating with other parties. That's why for me in Canada, my favorite thing is when we have a minority government is because you're forced to work with other people and you can't just, you know, pass whatever legislation you want.
Yeah, maybe like do a referendum.
Yeah.
Like ask people, what do you think? Like a vote. It's just like democracy. It's basic, but...
Yeah, it's one of those really, like, hard things with democracy is that every 4 years or, like, whatever, like, you have to try to get reelected. So you have to balance, like, your long-term vision with your short-term goals.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, like, hope that you're going to keep getting reelected because otherwise, like, it's just, it's this catch-22 of democracy that you see all the time in, like, most countries. You want to implement this, like, long-term reform, but if you're not there in office for 2 years, then, like, what's the purpose?
Yeah, the next one is just going to, like, erase everything.
Yeah, you have that in the U.S. because you have a two-party system, which is the stupidest thing ever. But at the same time, like, I don't fault the founding fathers. They couldn't have, like, foreseen that one day we're going to have more than two parties. Like, that, I'm sure that was not, like, a consideration. I think that's, like, that for most countries' constitutions. Like, people don't have the foresight to see, like, oh, this country is not going to last, like, 10 years. It's going to last, like, what... 200? We're at 200 years of 250 years of the U.S.?
That's crazy. Just 200.
Like, yeah, I'm sure.
It's a new country. That's...
Sorry. That's crazy. Like, back in, like, 19... Because I'm taking Canadian history. Back in, like, 1914, people thought, like... No, 1917. People thought that Canada was going to split up over, like, the conscription crisis. And, like, we're still here.
Yeah, but, like, someone told me, like, a few days ago that actually Quebec tried to, like, be independent a few years ago.
Yeah, in 1980 and 1995,
That's crazy.
There wasn't something more recent than that?
No, there was there was a referendum in 1980 where people voted no at like...
Ah, yeah, I heard
I can't
this.
Give you
they
a number.
They voted no, but it was like 51, 49...
No, in 95, like it was... Basically, the no won... No, people voted yes at like 50.9%, but you needed 51 for it to pass. 50.9%.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is actually really crazy.
And it had like a 93% turnout. It was
93%
turnout. 93% turnout.
Oh my God. That's insane.
Yeah, no, it's actually very common. Maybe not 93% now, but like people in Quebec turn up at like
that's a good sign for democracy.
Yeah. That's a good sign for
because in a lot of countries usually people don't trust anymore in the government because as we've seen all these examples show that they don't trust it anymore and that's why also these things that happen are also a backslide for democracy because as people don't believe in it, they don't vote, and it's not the solution.
There's a lack of trust, like in the government and in the institutions.
Yeah, I believe the last federal election, I think we had like a 66% turnout, which is compared to some countries, that's rather high. But like people were like, "Hey, we should." People were like, "Hey, maybe we should like reevaluate this because it was like historically low. Like 66% Canada is like historically low. People here tend to vote, and I think also like voting here is very easy. You just show up to like your local elementary high. I just showed up to my high school. I showed them my driver's license and I like voted. It's very easy. But other countries make it so difficult for reasons. But it should be easy. It should be easy to vote. You should be able to just like show up with ID and check your little box.
I know.
Okay, so we still have like 5 minutes on air. So maybe we could do like a little tour about like our discoveries of the week and why we should like why you should try it. Okay, do you want me to start?
Is it like a recommendation of like anything that interests you?
Yeah, a podcast, a book, a movie. Do you want me to start?
Yeah.
You can.
Okay, so for my Spanish class, I had to watch a movie. The name was También la lluvia, even the rain in English. And I didn't want to see it because, like, normally I don't see, like, the movies that they asked me to see, to watch. And I watched it, and it was a really good movie because it talked about, like, the issue, like, the battle for water in Bolivia, I think. And I don't know if you heard about it, and it was really interesting, and I didn't know anything about it, and it was just a great movie. So it's on Netflix, so you can watch it if you want to.
Well, first I will recommend the movie Five, which we already about, because it's a really good movie. And second, I just discovered a podcast for French speakers only, I'm sorry, which actually does a little bit of what we've been doing today at the beginning, but analyzes the series, the Netflix series, Amazon Prime, and it is really interesting, which is called Des Séries sur le Gâteau. So I really recommend this podcast. It's a very good one.
I've been watching the K-drama The Glory, and it's been really good. It's about a girl who gets bullied in high school, and then she swears revenge on the people that bullied her. It's really good. It's on Netflix. It got like record high ratings. I highly recommend it.
Okay.
I wish I had a specific show or movie, but right now I'm just gonna highlight a specific activity. Yeah. I've never done journaling before. Today I went and bought a journal, and I was always one of those things where I was like, oh, but I keep thinking to my past, and I keep going, oh, I missed all those good moments to journal. But the longer I keep putting it off, the more I'm going to keep looking back like that. So this is my recommendation
to finally buy
a journal. Thank you. To finally buy a journal and start writing things. Start just talking with yourself. It's the most important relationship you'll have.
Wow, okay, that is so poetic.
Nice little powerful quote there.
A little Carrie Bradshaw Sex and the City finale moment.
That's my ultimate inspiration, so.
Well, that was a good show again today. And thank you for joining us today for our new show. So we repeat again, it's Girls Meet World, and you will be hearing a bit more about us very soon, hopefully. And now to finish off, we'll listen to a song, The Blaze of the Dreamer.